Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Touring Heavy Metal Band podcast. Before I say anything else at all, you need to listen to Third Ion. Here is a clip. Pretty excited actually when I discovered your band. Actually, just because I'm kind of curious what people are up to anywhere east of Alberta, I was like, okay, Zandra, what's Zandra doing up or doing right now?
Oh, so you know Zandra?
I know of her. I think okay. I talked to her like maybe 10 years ago, kind of chatting when Facebook was young. But right. Other than that, like, obviously she's upped her game. She's booking, like, any big band that goes through Canada and makes a stop is going to be basically play Regina with her.
Yeah, so, she even snagged Iced Earth not too long ago. Like, there's a lot of stuff that typically would go to union events.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm confident that you're familiar with union.
I've been doing this for about 6 months. I'm just getting really good at it quickly. I'll pat my own back for that. Yeah.
Well then, in that case. They're like a mini Live Nation that kind of exists in Western Canada. And she has snagged a few that typically were promoted by them. So yeah, she's definitely up her game. And yeah, she's actually, I would consider her one of my best friends.
Oh, cool.
I see her many times a week.
Nice.
Yeah, she's great. She also gives me a lot of work because she's the manager at a venue in town, so I do sound for her a lot.
Okay.
So, but we're tight. She's a really, really great lady.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of have to do double duty, especially in heavy metal. Like, you know, you get your band out there and, you know, I'm not sure if you had dreams of grandeur in the beginning, but even bands that are big, people think these bands are big, they're broke. And
totally. I know. I remember reading something on, I think it was like a YouTube comment, where somebody made some assumption that Into Eternity had tons of cash, and they couldn't have been further from the truth. And I mean, I'm still broke, but I also still have the delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
I still feel like I can really do something with it, but I also have the benefit of I'm really well established here in town and as far as recording and doing live sound and stuff, and so I can comfortably dream and still make a living and do what I'd like to do. It's kind of nice.
One second. I'm just adjusting the input here.
Yeah.
Okay. You still there?
Yep.
All right. It almost sounds like we've already started the podcast. So perhaps I should introduce Mr. Justin Bender. Bender is your last name?
Yep. Yeah. Just like the robot.
Just like the robot. Okay. Yeah. So, Justin Bender from the band Third Ion, which I found today. Is it two words? Or
yeah, it is.
It
yeah.
is? Okay. I've seen it listed on like an event, on a Facebook event as one word. So
maybe, oh, that must have been Winnipeg.
Mm, yeah, maybe they're looking at your website, your web address. but yeah, so you play guitar in Third Ion, and I listen to you guys. I'm like, oh my God, another wicked Canadian band. And I saw that you had a tour and you're coming out this way. You're not hitting Victoria. So hope I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get there or not. Like your Vancouver day, is it on a weekend?
It's a Wednesday night, actually.
It's a Wednesday. Yeah. It's like lucky Vancouver people. I just moved from there. I lived like 10 minutes away from the Biltmore, and now you're coming to play.
I think my bass player lives 10 minutes from the Biltmore.
Well, the good part about that is you're also like 10 minutes from Scrape Records, which is...
Oh, sweet. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to hit that up. I haven't been there in like 7 years.
Yeah, that place is wicked. Yeah, it's always... And they also put on lots of good shows. I think they have a very good relationship with a lot of big touring bands Arch Enemy, Carcass... I think they're bringing Dark Tranquillity in, or they did, and then Dark Tranquillity couldn't come in, and then they did. I don't know, but they deal with lots of good talent, as far as I'm concerned.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and The Haunted. You said you played with them back in the day?
Yeah, we played with Dark Tranquillity and The Haunted at the Croatian Culture Center in Vancouver.
Nice.
We did 5 weeks in the U.S. with them.
Cool.
I think it was, yeah. That was a really, really good tour, actually. I think of that tour as mm-hmm. probably one of the most successful ones we ever did. It was just off the charts.
Nice. Yeah. But that was then. And this is now. I'd like to talk to you about your band, and yes. I will. But one of the things that you had mentioned earlier when we were talking earlier was that your band, being as tight as they are, or as you are, you use the inner ear monitor system. And before I start asking you about that, I know a lot of bands use it, a lot more progressive bands, or a lot more technical bands using Strange Time signatures, and also people who just don't want to deal with the monitors from one venue to another. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's a way to save your ears for one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the lifetime of your ears, your ear health. It's definitely, that's one of my main motivators, actually.
Really?
But yeah, definitely. I mean, it's my living, so
mm-hmm.
I need to protect them.
Well, I understand. I feel the same way, about protecting my ears, but every time I think about inner ear monitors, it hasn't really been in regards to protecting my ear health. It's been more to just like, it's been more to hear better, like hear my band, you know, clearly.
Absolutely. But that's, that is probably the more important point, but, I mean, you can dial in a mix in your ears and not have it splitting loud. You know, it can be at a moderate volume, and the in-ears isolate everything out. So you don't have to fight over natural volume, which can be something that people actually don't like about them. Mm-hmm. It's just how isolated you feel, and you know, you don't really hear the crowd as well. I've seen bands put microphones at the front of the stage just to capture the room, just so they can get a bit of that ambience and not feel like they're in a little vacuum chamber. Because, I mean, it just really isolates you, which mm-hmm. is... something I'm not really used to yet. I haven't ever actually played a gig with in-ears before, so just some rehearsals and it's going to be a little bit of an experiment.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it for sure.
Yeah, well, it sounds really neat. Like I've seen drummers especially. Like you'll see a band with a drummer, and the drummer will be listening to a click track and like what's going on. I've seen some bands with they'll have the click track, they'll have like their whole set planned like from front to back, and you'll have the click track going, and the click track is basically like for those who don't know what that is, that's a like kind of like a metronome. You hear that tick 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 with the tempos, but a click track is actually mapped out to the point where if there's a change in that timing and it gets faster or slower, it's plotted out exactly. And a drummer can play to that. And any metal band that's used one knows that making them before you go into record is extremely important because it'll save you so much money.
Absolutely.
That might be a whole nother episode. But I've seen that. But I haven't seen, I don't think I've ever seen a band play where everyone has like inner ear monitors. Do you have them in both ears?
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's the isolation,
if I really was hating the isolation, I could pop one out. Mm-hmm. But then we're not going to have any live amps on stage.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much relying on this whole idea working.
Gets a little weird. Yeah. Yeah, just like one ear is hearing one thing and the other ear is hearing something completely different. Or just drums, I guess, maybe.
No, I mean, it'll be in stereo. Anything, we'll be able to mix everything however we want it. If I want to have the guitar panned a bit to the right or the left ear, I can, or I can have it in both.
Mm-hmm.
It's however we want to do it. And every member of the band will have their own little mix.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be totally customizable. And I'm even, you know how you were talking about having the click track, because one thing that I think is really cool about playing to a click when everybody's on the click is that the drummer doesn't have to count you in. So then this will be the first time I've actually been able to do this live where we'll be able to just start songs without having anybody count in. That'll be kind of interesting. I don't know if people are going to find it weird that we'll just be starting with no count in. It should be pretty neat. Although a lot of the songs will have musical intros as well, like stuff played off the computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm going to do, to achieve that is I was actually working on this today is creating, like I have all the click tracks for the studio sessions cause the album is pretty well, like all the drums are done in the record. So all the click tracks are done. But I created a second one because we have multiple outputs on the computer, so we can afford to use another line for click tracks, and we're actually doing a second click for me, Mike, and Tyler, the bass player and the singer and myself, and just so that we don't have to have the click going all the time. I'm confident that my drummer can play to it. And we can follow him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So instead of having the click annoyingly in all of our ears, we'll just have certain ones piped in.
Let the tempo. Sorry, I was just going to say, I just want to say, let the tempo guy, well, everyone should be responsible for the tempo, but like, let the drummer listen to the constant cowbell or whatever.
They're used to that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're used to it. Let them do it. Yeah.
Whereas I'm definitely not, so I'm gonna and even when I record bands in the studio, I generally don't listen to the click. I just watch the numbers on the screen because I just hate it. It's it's something that hearing the sound of a metronome is just, I don't know, it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine. I just really don't like it. When I'm playing, I guess it's a bit different though. I don't like, I practice to a click all the time. Whatever, we'll see. I guess I'm just assuming things, and I haven't really done this yet because I haven't played it. Like I said, I haven't played a show with the whole click track set up yet where I can hear it.
Is your first show going to be September 11th in Winnipeg show?
Yeah. So next Thursday is our debut show.
So and then you're right on to your little tour out to Vancouver, and so just kind of like jumping right in there. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. It's kind of freaky, but I mean, might as well test the waters.
Yeah.
Fully. I mean, doing a local show here is, you know, it'll likely be a good show. There's quite a few people that seem like they're coming. We've sold quite a few tickets already.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a no-brainer. I guess the real test to see if people are interested is to hit the road and get out to less familiar territory.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, have you practiced or tried any of your material without that click?
I was thinking about that the other day. No, we haven't.
Yeah.
But we also live in different cities, so it's a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mike lives in Vancouver. We've only ever actually played any of these songs with him live, like, in a room together,
mm-hmm.
Like, over a few days once. So
that was for your videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we're actually going to make a... We have more of those rehearsal videos that we haven't put out yet. We're going to slap them on a DVD and sell them for like $5 at shows.
Wow, they're really cool. They looked very well done.
Yeah, Aaron is a video guy. He does his YouTube channel with all of his drum lessons and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's got a bunch of GoPros and he really knows what he's doing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, every band... Well, hopefully every band has their tech guy, you know, the guy who's responsible for your pre-production and maybe your like any kind of photography stuff or a graphic design before you actually go and hire somebody. But I imagine in a band as progressive as yours, you've got multiple tech guys.
That's really funny that you bring that up because yeah, this is kind of the first time I've had a band where I'm not the tech guy. I'm not the only tech guy. In Into Eternity, not to, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way at all, but I was like by far the only tech guy. Tim, I mean, that's probably one reason why Tim is a million times better guitar player than I am.
Because he's woodshedding on that instead of like...
Learning computers and whatever else have you.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really cool. Mike is a Pro Tools guy. He was editing some Devin Townsend stuff not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, I would say he's probably better with video than audio, but that's great because there's two guys who know audio.
Still understands editing. Right.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Like to do video, you still need some basic audio and like just technical know-how.
Absolutely. Yeah. I swear he's as fast on Final Cut Pro as I am on Pro Tools. Like
that's awesome.
He's really good. He's a super, super intelligent guy and just he can pick anything computer related up. No problem.
Cool.
In fact, if he doesn't figure it out right away, he usually just doesn't even try if it's not because he's used to everything coming very easy to him. I think
yeah,
this is what I've observed from hanging out with him.
Okay,
Aaron, if you hear this, yes, I'm making fun of you.
Well, you know, you got to do that a little bit. Just you know, you tone it down once you're on tour. Save it for afterwards and then blow up.
This is only a week long tour, so we won't even get to that like 3 week hump where people start to get pissed off at each other.
Yeah, testing waters in many different ways. Yeah. So I was just curious. Okay, about the inner ear system because this is I have a personal curiosity about this. My band, we've been talking about this for quite some time. We want to switch to getting an inner ear system of our own. We don't play nearly as technically as you guys do, but we definitely want to tighten up our game, play with a few more weird time signatures, and also have something like we want to standardize our monitoring system because like you go from venue to venue and one day it's great and the other day it's like what the fuck, I can't hear anything.
And there's that other piece of the pie as to why I really want in-ears.
Yeah just some stability when especially while on tour because like I don't know. But I find that the best sound you will get, even if you complain about it, is in your jam space because you're there the most often. Maybe not you if you're jamming with everybody across the country. But like most bands, they have their jam space. They jam once, two, maybe three times a week or more, and you know that's what they get used to. And then when they go and play a show elsewhere, if the sound's not done right by some sound guy who doesn't deal with them at all except for that show, it's even if it sounds good, it's still kind of an alien environment and that affects the way you play.
I kind of like remember even like first time actually touring and just really being really noticing just how different every venue sounded every single day And I mean, even before I actually toured, even just playing in you know, old local bands and just playing around the city and stuff, you're absolutely right. Like, I remember that feeling of like just being so used to my jam spot and how alien everything could sound. It just sounded so different, and that could be tough to get used to. One thing I've definitely learned, if I were to give anybody advice, which I'm not sure if that's what you were going for, but I'm going to give it anyway.
Do it.
is less is more. Don't ask sound guys for a million things in your monitors. Think about what you actually need. You need drums because you need a pulse so that you can stay in time. But you should know your songs. You shouldn't need to hear every single instrument in perfect clarity necessarily, because you should probably know what you're supposed to do as long as you have the drums. So if you can, like, so I would say, like, I got to a point where I literally was only putting kick drum and my own vocal. I could hear my guitar behind me in most venues, and I didn't really need to hear the other guitar. And, but we also, our drummer was playing to a click, just him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Into Eternity I'm talking about.
Okay.
And just Brian would be playing to a click. So then he would always be counting on the hi-hats if there were any parts without drums where there was a guitar. So that's another reason I didn't need to hear Tim, because I would always just have a count to listen to. So yeah, that's definitely one thing I learned, is a less is more approach, because you're absolutely right. These sound guys don't really know you. They don't, they're not used to dealing with you. You can tell them what you want, but for them to stand at most venues, any of us are going to be playing, are going to be venues where monitors are mixed from the front of house console, where they're not going to have their own monitor mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to be, you know, across the room from you, and you can point up or down and tell them more or less of something, and they can take their best guess.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's assuming even that the monitors themselves sound good. Some venues have pretty terrible gear, and it's always just such a nice treat when you walk into a place like the Commodore, for instance, in Vancouver. I'm assume you're familiar with that place.
I'm familiar. I would still like to play there. Haven't done it's, so
yeah
yet.
I only played there once, and it was, I just remember the monitors sounding absolutely amazing.
Wow.
I don't think I got a mix that was all that great, but again, they don't know you.
once again, what's out there and what's up on stage. I've definitely had that situation where, well, I've had more situations where you sound great out to the crowd, but you can't hear what the fuck is going on. Like in your, like up on stage, you're just like, I'm winging it. I'm going to look like I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then there's those other situations where you're having a great time rocking it out, and then, you know, afterwards, like, people are like, it was a great show, man. I wish they'd turn your guitar up a little bit more. It's like, really? Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a very, very, hard divide between the sound of what's on stage and the sound that comes out front, and you don't, your experience on stage is always going to be potentially different. But yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. Like, I've always figured, as long as it sounds good out front, I'll just deal. You know, I've been in so many situations that are less than ideal that I always just kind of was like, well, whatever, you know, as long as it sounds good out front. So that's at least doing this way, where we're going to be traveling with all of our own microphones, our own cables, our own mix for on stage, for the monitor, for the in-ears and everything. And the sound guys literally just have to deal with front of house. Then they don't even have to think about monitor world at all. They can just they can just deal with front of house, and hopefully that'll translate to better front of house mixes all around too. I don't know. We'll see.
So you've taken the responsibility of monitoring them, or monitoring yourselves away from them. It's like, all right, buddy, your job is so much easier. Now make us sound badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And it's even going to be easier on them physically too. They don't have to do as much.
Yeah.
We'll put our drums on stage and mic them up ourselves. They're going to be mounted to Aaron's rack, and then we'll have pre-labeled and kind of mapped out, like, snake cables and everything.
Yeah.
It's all ready to go. And then we just hand him a tail of XLR cables to patch into the front of house. That's all he literally has to do.
Wow. Okay. So basically your whole system for for the inner ear monitoring, as well as the as your outputs, like your basically your direct outputs. So you got the headphones, you've got wireless transmitter receivers, and then you have like a central hub.
Yeah, and for the time being, I'm actually the only one with wireless. Mike and Tyler are both going to be on wired in ears. And okay. So I'm just going to make a cable. I'm just going to tie a cable with zip ties together to their instrument cable. So it kind of, so they still are, it's like they're just dealing with one cable like they normally would.
Done that before. That's great. Zap strap that stuff. Cool.
What's that?
Zip ties, zap strap. You just consolidate those cables into a single cable, like you say.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to a central hub that controls everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Interesting. And then everyone's instruments go through, instead of amplifiers, through processors.
Yeah. Mike's going to be a combination of direct and, which is common in live situations anyway. Sound guys will often just take the direct bass. But his is going to be a combination of direct and Sans amp. He's got, I can't remember which one, but he's got a really nice Sans amp rack mount unit. And then mine, I've got the Digidesign 11 rack.
Okay.
Which I would, to be honest, would rather have a Fractal Audio Axe FX. But I just can't afford it. So maybe, hey, if anybody out at Fractal hears this, hook a brother up.
Yeah, they're really good. Third Ion, really, really good. I can't wait to hear more of your songs. I've heard two songs so far. And then once your album's out, then I can hear more. Okay. Well, that's awesome. I really haven't had that much insight on the whole inner ear thing ever.
The other thing that kind of complicates it and is something that has to be taken care of, but we're taking care of it for the shows. Like, it's definitely something I would never want to rely on a local venue to have, because I'm sure none of them do, but is a way to split all the mic cables. That's one of the reasons we're doing all of our own mics and cables to begin with, so that we're just going to have everything patched into a system that splits all the mic cables, so that we have one half of the split going to our ears and the other half going to the front of house.
Mm-hmm.
That way they're independent of each other and gain structure isn't affected by either. The front of house guy can gain the mics however he wants.
So the mics, basically you have mic'd all your gear yourself, and then it splits before it is actually messed with by either on front of house or on the monitoring side of things.
Cool.
Interesting. Okay. And it sounds like so much stuff, but really, you can probably tour in a minivan with this, can't you?
Damn near. That's what we have. Is we have a minivan. We're still going to pull a trailer, though, just because Aaron's drum kit is big.
The drums.
And then we can stretch out a little bit, too.
Yeah.
We probably could take the big bench seat from the back, and you can put it in the middle one. There's like a two-seater that's in the middle, but you can totally put the big one into the middle and then just use the back for cargo space. And we probably could fit everything in there, but I think we're going to not do that. We'd rather have a little bit of comfort.
The benches are nice for long runs. I mean...
Yeah, man. You know, there's that 13-hour drive from Edmonton to Vancouver that we got to deal with.
So. Oh, Edmonton to Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah, but you're doing that over 2 days.
Yeah, we have a day off. We don't have a show there, so that's gonna be easy. Actually, that's probably gonna be one of the easier drives because of that. The actual the worst drive of the tour is Regina to Red Deer.
Regina to, yep, I see that. Yeah,
that's a good 8.5-9 hours, I think.
Oh yeah. I've in Tribune's tour history, we've had some doozies. Usually it's either the home stretch, when we were still all in Vancouver. I think we went from Rocky Mountain House to Vancouver overnight after playing a show.
Everybody just wants to get home, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we were running on adrenaline and insanity and maybe some other things, but then there's also Northern Ontario. That's always fun.
Oh, yeah. I honestly just hate driving through Ontario.
Yeah.
If I can, like, go through the States, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But without a work visa, I probably wouldn't try.
When you look like a band, you can't do it. If you've,
unless you have your work visas, which I've been fortunate enough to have that situation before, but I won't be for this anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you're not going out there yet. So,
although Aaron was talking about that a bit today. So maybe we will try to get our asses down there sooner than later.
I know people who would love to see you there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be good.
So, Third Ion, how long have you guys been around? I just found you.
Well, that's no surprise because we've only been around for like since January, and I think we only have been made the public aware of our existence probably about 4 months ago, maybe like maybe April or May or something like that. We started leaking stuff. So yeah, it's a really, really new thing. It's something that Aaron, the drummer, and I have talked about for years. We met, I think, probably about 4 years ago, and we pretty much right away started talking about doing a band together, and just took a while to get off our asses and do it. But as soon as we started, and it was even when we started it, it still kind of in my mind was like a just kind of something to do for fun, because I had some riffs that I wanted to do, and I love his playing. I really wanted to do something with him, but I didn't really, really think that it was going to go into a full blown band. Even for a while, I thought I might just sing on it myself, but then it just turned out so good that I thought there's no way I have to get a good singer, because I got to do this justice, because I'm just not that good. I've only really been singing for a few years.
You made a good decision.
I've been playing guitar forever.
You made a good decision. The singing,
I think so.
The singing is awesome. I love it. You don't. This one of the things. I love the growling. I love the screaming in heavy metal. I love all that stuff. But people, it's almost like some people are just a little afraid of getting into the singing territory, because it is actually, it can be so difficult. You really have to train that instrument, and also you just have to have a certain like savviness to like pull it off in a way that's unique.
Yeah.
Especially,
I'd like to think that this is a bit of a different approach too.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think so.
Sorry, what were you gonna say?
I think so. You're reminding me, like, for it's. You know, when someone hears something, they want to compare it to something else. And
absolutely,
I'm just picking bands out of like everywhere to try and like describe your guys' sound. The singing, I think a little bit of Tool, and even like the System of a Down, like the verbal gymnastic kind of thing going on there. Just like, you know, just weird, like Stranger Scales. I hear, hearing a little harmonic minor, like singing, and like harmonic minor singing is like, you really need to know what you're doing, to actually be singing like that in some places. And
yeah. That's awesome that you've picked that out, because like, I think that I've got him singing more harmonic minor on this than anything I've ever done. I love it. And it just seems to suit a lot of the riffs. I tend to write riffs that have that in it as well. So
same here.
It's kind of, I don't know, just something I really like. There's a song, the title track of the record has a lot of harmonic minor singing. There's kind of a background echoey thing that we just drown in reverb and delay that kind of comes in between the actual main vocals. And it's a bunch of harmonic minor stuff that he just improvised, and I just love it. It's all just like one take. I don't think I had him redo anything. It just sounds so badass.
He just picked it up?
He just picked it up. He's one of those supernatural guys. He's a really good guitar player too. He's not playing guitar in this band.
Yeah.
But he's a shredder. And people don't know that, because he's kind of known around here for doing like solo acoustic music. He just does like folky stuff himself. And he's released a few albums, and they're fantastic. I love them. He's one of my favorite local artists, and I'm super stoked that he is like wanting to be in this band and seems to really enjoy it. But yeah, he's just one of those people who's just really natural. He's been singing his whole life since he was a little kid. So picking stuff like that up, it sounds crazy to us, but he just kind of does it. You know?
Well,
that's nice. It's really good to have.
And sorry, I'm not looking at my notes right now. And since I just discovered you today, what's his name?
Tyler.
Tyler.
Tyler. Tyler Gilbert. .ca, I think.
Oh, he's got his own. Well, okay. If he came from his solo project, then yeah, he'd have his own website. Cool.
So I might as well plug it. There's also AaronEdgardDrum.com.
Cool. I will. I think I'm. I will grab all of that from you. Any contacts related to your band, and I will post it on riffthatkill.com with a post to the podcast as well.
Sweet. Yeah. There's I just added a contact and links section to the website. So there's a ton of stuff there. There's all of our Facebook and Twitter and whatever crap on there.
Cool. Yeah, I'm sure that people are going to be flocking to you en masse after my crowd of 100 or 200 and growing. Here's you.
Man, that's awesome. If you have that many people actually listening, that's deadly.
I think so. I might be coaching the numbers or, you know, patting them a little, but yeah, either way, I think you're helping me out because you guys are awesome. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, a little bit of back scratching both ways. Yeah. Right, so,
it's kind of funny how you just discover a band and it's like, hey, let's do an interview. Okay, cool.
Hell yeah.
I'm not doing anything tonight.
Dude, it's like a wicked band from Regina. Like, you got members from like bands that I love anyways. It's like you're a super group and you're just kind of sleeping away here. It's like, no, people must know that this is happening, you know? And I've confession. I've confessed already, but I'll say so. Once again, I've kind of had my head in the sand up until maybe about like 6 months ago. And by that, I mean, I've been in a band. We've Tribune's 10 years old now. And I spent so much time concentrating on my own band. I didn't pay enough attention to the scene around me. Didn't pay enough attention to the bands that I was playing with, or just like, I don't remember when we go on tour that we played with this band or that band. And when I finally kind of came around and was like having to book extra dates for our last tour, we had a week gap in a tour that was booked for us, and I wanted to book for that. I got into it. I booked for my band. I had so much fun doing it, and the conversations that it created, I just realized, wait a second, Eureka, I need to be talking to people more, and I need to I was discovering more bands willingly and going out there and finding all this cool music. And now it's kind of the dam is burst, the floodgates are open, and
that's cool.
It's great. I guess I'm reborn in the metal religion. So,
I think that's one thing that kind of naturally happens too. When you spend weeks on the road, like often enough, you just get kind of drilled with metal, and I found that I'd spend my musical listening enjoyment time just for the pure enjoyment. I would, you know, throw on a Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds record or something, you know, just something very not metal for a while there. But then as soon as you, I definitely find that every time I'm away from it from a bit, like from the constant touring or anything like that, which has now been quite a while, like Into Eternity has only really toured like once a year for the last, you know, 4 years or so. And so that kind of like hunger to hear new bands starts creeping up again. And it's really cool because I totally know what you mean. You get in your little bubble, you get so focused on your own project. And I mean, I still do that too. Now that I started this up, it's all I think about. And, I'm sure that's, eventually unhealthy, but I think right now I'm doing what I need to be doing for this project.
The creative, I think it's just a creative blessing and curse that you will, you'll go do off and do your creative thing and get a absolutely absorbed in what it is that you're working on. And then once in a while, you'll come out of your hole and go, hey, wow, there's all this other stuff going on too.
Yeah.
That's really neat. That's inspiring. Whole world. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. That's inspiring me to go back into my cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the new Opeth album coming out just now.
Yeah.
I threw it on headphones and just was blown away. And then now it's just like, oh, that just gives me more ideas.
Yeah. It's all weird and all over the place. I haven't actually heard that yet. I'm still, I know a lot of people have some strong opinions about Opeth, one way or the other. It's like, oh no, they're changing their sound. And, like for me, it's, yeah, it's really just what weirdness lies within, what new tricks lie within, and what can we learn from them while enjoying them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're one of my, I would say, my all-time favorite bands. They're right up there. I like just about everything they've done, but that doesn't mean everything. I think their last album, Heritage, I think I listened to it once all the way through. Like, I was just kind of like, I don't know, but now... This new record to me sounds like a continuation of that new kind of Opeth style, like how they've changed or whatever, like tons of organ. It sounds like a 70s prog album, but I absolutely love the new album. So I have to go back and listen to Heritage now and see if I just didn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always open to that. I'm definitely open to that possibility. And the last time I saw them live, they didn't play anything with any death metal vocals, and it was a little weird that they skipped so much of their catalog, but at the same time I love everything that they do so much. I didn't really know the Heritage stuff because, like I said, I'd only listened to it once, but he's just got such an amazing singing voice. There's some really cool vocals on the new record. I definitely recommend checking it out. I could go on and on all day.
I will and I'll revisit Heritage. I think one of the things that was getting to me about that album more than anything was that the production was way different than standard.
To my ear, it's muddy. I know that like one man's muddy is another man's warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to keep that in mind and trust that they just were achieving some artistic... expression of some kind through the production. They went to an old studio. I want to say it was in London, but I don't really actually remember. But some old studio that had old tape machines and everything was analog and that's cool. But I mean, I listened to albums from like a Kansas record. Listen to like Song for America by Kansas. It's got like really cool, really punchy and bright production. Even though it was recorded on tape, it doesn't sound so just overly warm. It's almost like people have this this assumption that that tape and tube warmth means like no high end or something. I don't know. That's almost what I got out of listening to that
record.
It's
like someone made a mixtape for you, and that's what they sound. That's actually what they sound. The recording actually sounds like,
Or like a tape. Yeah.
Like,
do you mean like a dub tape where
it
loses a bit of quality?
Where you have that quality loss through generations, and also putting it on a tape. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, that, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's I don't know. That's just the kind of weird ramblings of my brain from when I listened to that record, but that was it for me too, the production. Whereas this one seems like it met in the middle a little bit, like they split the difference. There's still no drum replacement. There's still, everything still sounds fairly unedited, still sounds fairly raw, but they up the punch factor. There's some brightness, there's some sheen. It sounds really good to my ear. Cool. But the drums still kind of have a bit of a darker sound to them, like Heritage did. I don't know. I like it. I dig all the organ. This is a new player, I think. This is a new keyboard player, I think, from the last record. I mean, it's awesome. It's always going to be good, just as far as the writing goes.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to re-listen to Heritage. I probably missed the boat on some really great Michael Åkerfeldt writing.
I still have to say that my favorite album from them is Watershed.
That is a really great record, but you know what? It kind of loses me about halfway through. The first half just blows me away every time I hear it. But then I forget. I'm bad with song titles. But after, even, I think we you all know, are. To be honest, pretty much anything after that Lotus song, Lotus Eater, is that what it's called?
You know what? I don't know.
It's like by about track four, I'm starting to lose interest, which is weird. The first bit of that album, I just absolutely love. I like Ghost Reveries a lot, and I think Blackwater Park is my all-time favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you're reminding me of another thing I've realized that has been happening is with all the music that we can get, that I don't memorize tracks, like track listings, nearly as much as I used to when I first got into music.
Yeah.
You know that's kind
of that's kind of a product of just the way we hear music now.
Easy access.
Yeah, it's so easy. I'm glad that finally that there's that, like, I just got Google Play on my phone. Have you heard of that?
Heard of it, never used it.
It is awesome. I was pleased to find out that I could use it on my iPhone. I thought it might have been an Android phone only thing. But yeah, it's basically Netflix for music. But like Netflix often doesn't have new releases. Whereas like the new Opeth, the new Dream Theater, they're on there. And you can just stream anywhere you are on your phone and listen to music. I like that a lot. And I don't know, that might cause me to start seeing titles more, maybe, because I'll be booting it up and, you know, picking something to listen to. I don't know. But then it seems to encourage randomizing. It seems to encourage letting it guess the music for you. Like, it has kind of a feature, like, just, you know, take your chance at what they'll think you like based on what you've played before. Kind of like a Genius playlist or whatever.
I don't think any tool is going to make me remember tracks nearly as well as I could back when I was young, full of angst, and only owned 3 CDs, you know. It's like I knew a lot about those CDs when I only had 3 of them instead of like gigabytes of songs, and I could just, it's like flavor of the day.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
It's like, what am I feeling like right now? And
yeah, it certainly has changed everything. Mm-hmm. At least luckily with things like this Google Play and just even iTunes, how it's making it too easy to just do that. So hopefully less people will seek out torrenting everything and just pirating everything.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll encourage, I don't know what artists make off of Google Play. I don't know what royalty rates are like, but it's better than stolen. So I'm just glad that there's all these things becoming so easy and user-friendly that it's actually more of a pain in the ass to go and steal the record. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, in regards to the whole torrenting and just the illegal downloads, My singer Brian, he had a good point. That we've been going through kind of what would be the Wild West days of the internet, but I think it's starting to button down on those illegal downloads, and the things are kind of catching up now, and the opportunities for actually buying music are becoming like easier and more accessible, and people are, I guess more people are actually starting to buy music. I'm not sure how much of that money is still going to the musicians, but just seems like that is on its way out eventually, now that things are finally catching up.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I would like to see some money for my music.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot of work, and we love doing it, but you know, I easily have basic, it's like my normal music career of doing sound and recording people is my full-time job, but for this year I've worked a part-time job on top of it, doing my new band stuff and recording my new band and writing songs and doing all the work that's involved with it. mm-hmm. like more than a part-time job. It's a lot of work and a lot of hours. And yeah, so the fact that people ever just thought it was cool to just take it kind of blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, that said, in the early days of the internet, I mean, I downloaded an album or two as well.
I was guilty just, as well.
Yeah, but it did, at least with me and a lot of musicians I know, it did sink in. And especially once we actually started trying to make careers of it, it's like, whoa, what were we doing? But most of us had kind of seen the light on that anyway. As soon as you realize what it's done, a lot of people have used the whole, like, because it's kind of known that a lot of record deals are really not super artist friendly. Traditionally, people find out that, like, I remember reading in David Ellefson's book. I can't remember what it was called, but David Ellefson wrote a book about the music industry, and I was probably about 16 when I read it, and he talked about how their record deals would have, you know, the label would make, you know, $8 a CD and they would make 69 cents a CD or something like that. Like, it was peanuts. And that is very true. You know, I've learned that that's actually how it works, that bands see so little of that actual money. And the bands are usually in debt to the record label for advances. Mm-hmm. So they have to pay that advance back through that 69 cents a record. And it kind of is this ridiculous loop of never-ending debt that is impossible to pay off unless you reach a certain level, I suppose. But the thing that people don't consider is the fact that record sales numbers still really meant something. Like, so you're not going to get rich necessarily if you sold 100,000 records. But if you sell 100,000 records and your record label makes a whole ton of money off you, they're going to put more money into you.
They're going to keep working with you. You're not going to get the boot. You're actually going to get success, in quotations.
Exactly.
You'll become
a priority. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And people just don't seem to consider that. Because I've heard that argument many times where people are like, well, bands don't see the money from this anyway. It's like, yeah.
That's the excuse. Directly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just a cop out.
Yeah. But like... almost everybody I know is guilty of downloading illegally at some point in some way. But yeah, obviously as you grow older or as you become more involved in art, especially just in a band and all the work involved, all the time you pour in, all the sacrifices you have to make, it doesn't feel nearly as good to do that.
Exactly. And it's better late than never. At least, you know, people figure it out eventually. Yep. Like a friend of mine who started, who used to let her dog have puppies, and I would cringe. And then she started working at an animal shelter and realized why that's a bad idea and kind of morally wrong, you know? Like Bob Barker with his whole spaying new to your pets or whatever. People don't consider that sort of thing. People think, oh, I'm gonna have two pit bulls and I'm gonna breed them and I'm gonna sell the puppies for $500 and yay, I'm gonna make money. And meanwhile, there's all these other animals and shelters that are gonna get put down because now there's just that much less adoptable. But that's a whole other rant. But I kind of see that as a similar thing in a way.
At least
this friend of mine made this realization eventually.
And it's totally cool for us to rant, as much as we like to here. This is a good place for it. but you're still in that band, Third Ion. I just want to make sure I'm covering everything. I want to make sure, because like the whole point of getting in contact with you today, was I wanted to talk to you and expose you to the masses, all 200 of them. And let people know about this little tour. So it's just a 1 week tour that you're going on from Regina to Vancouver.
Yeah.
I've got all the dates here and I'm looking at them. So maybe I'll just list them off for everyone so they know.
Sure.
So everyone's heard the music at the beginning of this podcast. And I'm saying this before I actually edit it.
For
but,
sure. Yeah.
But the music you that you emailed to me, I'm going to put that song at the beginning, and people are going to hear how crazy and awesome you guys are. they're going to hear that, and then they're going to hear us say that Third Ion is going on tour September 11th. They're playing Winnipeg at the Zoo. I've played there before. That's a big venue, actually.
It's awesome. I'm so stoked that Corey booked us there.
It's wicked. And then we have September 12th in Regina at the Exchange. Mm-hmm. September 13th in Red Deer at the VAT, which is a great venue.
Yep.
September 14th in Calgary at Lord Nelson's. And September 15th in Edmonton at the Rendezvous. And September 17th in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret, which is close to Scrape Records, which is awesome.
And it's also an amazing venue. I'm so stoked that we're playing at the Biltmore. I've only played there once and I loved it.
So much character. You descend down these stairs into this kind of dark little area with pillars, and there's booths all around it, and the stage is only a foot off the ground. It's an intimate venue, but still like decently sized. You can get a few hundred people in there, and it's just
for sure.
It's good.
And I seem to remember the PA being pretty decent too.
I've never played there. I've only seen other bands play there, and the sound was really good out on the floor. I can't speak for the monitors, but what do you care?
I don't care anyway. The other bands can deal with that.
We got our own monitors.
we've got. I don't know how to say his last name, but that Chris Warrenkai?
I haven't actually spoken to him in person. I've spoken to him online a lot. I think I've said hi maybe in person, but then I actually met him on Facebook. I just say Warrenkai. That's probably not it.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Warrenkai? I don't know. But if he hears this, he'll have to correct me.
We've got
both of his bands.
Omnisite.
I think he just joined Wolfborn, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
And they're the opener of the Vancouver date, and then Omnisite, like you just said. Yeah. They're playing in the middle, and they're wicked.
Omnisite's really awesome. Cool, they're so cool. Yeah.
It's going to be a really cool show.
Yeah. And you're playing in the middle of the week after I moved away from Vancouver. Well, fuck. Yeah. Oh, well. That was...
Hop a ferry and do what your metal heart leads you to.
Yeah, I'll see what I can manage. I'm definitely sending lots of people out that way. I'm going to make sure. I've got a list of people in Vancouver, and I'm going to tell them to listen to the podcast and then go see this band. Because if you don't, you should just... Well, I was going to say die, but I don't want to encourage anyone to die. Metaphorically.
They're your friends, right?
Metaphorically, friends, die. Yeah.
No, that's great. Yeah, feel free to send them the event invite too. And
I will. I'm gonna, well,
all that good stuff.
I've got people all through. I don't know so many people in... I don't know too many people in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, but Alberta and BC, I will certainly send the word out to all those fellows.
Sweet, man. Yeah. Much appreciated. That's awesome.
Well, spread the word. Like, they must know. Yeah.
Spread the third, as we say.
Spread the third. Okay. And so before we actually did we started recording here, I had said that it's... this is a very casual kind of conversation. Obviously, we're talking about Opeth and going off about like pit bulls and puppies. But I did say, well, I don't want to just ask all the usual questions like where's your band name come from? But really, Third Ion, where's your band name come from?
It I'll give you the the short answer. So you can spend less time on this question. I don't know. it really was just me and Aaron brainstorming. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember who said it. One of us said it. I don't recall exactly how we came to it. But then we both just kind of liked how we liked how it sounded. We liked how it played on the third eye idea. And we're Tool fans. And so they... Right on. That third eye imagery throughout everything. And so we like that about it. And an ion particle, science-y, nerd stuff.
Nerdy. You know? Like nerdy music and nerdy monitoring system.
Exactly. Yeah. The nerdiness is... We actually almost put... Me and Aaron were kind of writing our little bios, which I hate doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any musician actually like... That's why it's good to get somebody else to write your bios. But when you're a new band, mm-hmm. you kind of have to do it. And we actually almost put in the little section about me something to the effect of how I will... I like will wear in public Star Trek shirt and pants. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, just to emphasize how absolute nerdy I am.
Oh, like you're going to dress up as like, an officer.
Yeah. Or even like I've got these Star Trek pajamas that just have a bunch of logos on them and stuff. I've worn those in public many times. They're a lot brighter and more colorful than anything I usually wear. But if I'm lazy and I'll go out, go grab a bite with my Star Trek pajamas on. And one time I happened to realize as I was out that I also had a Star Trek shirt on. It wasn't planned. It just kind of happened.
So you just grab randomly in your drawer or your closet and out comes a Star Trek shirt and there you go.
The likelihood of that is fairly high. So
there's more than one.
Yeah, there's several. There's probably a good half a dozen at least.
Yeah. And going back to your band name, it's two words. That's actually very uncommon these days.
Is it?
Yeah, it seems that way. Like,
what is the common thing? Three words?
Well, I guess so. Three or four. Like, I know, or a misspelling of a name. Like, I'm not knocking anything. It just seems like not knocking anyone's band name, but it just seems like a phenomenon. When we named our band, we were like, okay, we want one word. Yeah. We want one word. And just because we see all these bands are taking these three word names, and it's probably just because all the one word names seem to be taken, right? There's so many bands out there, anyone can record themselves. So you pared it down to two. Good for you. And it sounds cool. And some people are even putting them together as one word anyways.
Yeah, so that happened once already, so... And cool. And part of it too is as soon as we came up with it, we both looked at each other and we were like, yeah, this is like we could live with this. This is a good enough name. We could totally live with this being the project name because it was still just a project at this point. Mm-hmm. And then we just immediately went and found if the domain name was available. And so we registered that like immediately.
And then trademarked that shit. Right. Get on it. Put a little TM next to it.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I figure registering the domain name is good enough.
Well, eventually. No one gave us advice for trademarking our name. We just did it anyways. And we'll never trademark a newspaper, but being Tribune, or Tribune is actually how it's pronounced. I'm going to stop talking about my own band.
I actually was going to ask you if I was like, is that how you say that? Because I thought it was Tribune.
No, it's actually pronounced Tribune, but we like Tribune. So actually pronounced Tribune as far as we're concerned.
So it's a play on words with like tribal kind of.
Like, well, there's the word tribunal, right? You have Tribune and you have Tribunal. And right. I think we never discussed it. But we just kind of started saying it that way. And we're like, that sounds better. And every time we've had an interview or a radio announcement, someone will either just say straight up Tribune, or they'll be like, they'll correct themselves like I'm doing. They'll be a little bit like Tribune. Oh, sorry. Tribune.
That's funny.
Whatever. And, you know, it's all... Any press is good press. If they're going to say our name twice, no matter how they say it, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
sure, do it. Yeah. Well, I think we've covered most of our bases. I mean, really, the only thing that people can really do from this point at least for today, is go and listen to your music, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Please do.
I think so.
Listen away. We'll try to release more before the end of the year.
And if you do, let me know, and I will make sure it gets out there.
Will do, man.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Justin, for your time. And
no problem.
We will.
Thanks for the interview.
I really appreciate it. I will. We'll talk to you in the future, and maybe we'll catch up with you at a later date, or talk to one of your other members.
Yeah,
if they're as communicative as you are.
Oh, they will be. I'll make them. No,
force them. They're not another band member. This is just an indentured servitude. Yeah. All right. Okay. I can tell we could ramble on forever. So
absolutely.
I will bid you a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Right on. Good talking to you.
Cheers, bro.
See ya.
After collecting some information from Justin, I've got several links to fire at you. They will also be included in the show notes and also on the website, www.riffsthatkill.com, RIFFSTHATKILL.com. Third Ion is Aaron Edgar on drums. His website is AaronEdgarDrum.com, spelled AaronEdgar drum.com. Mike Young is the bassist and also works on synths, and he's the talent that came from the Devin Townsend project. Justin does mostly guitar work and keys, and obviously some PR. You can get him on Twitter, follow him on Twitter at Justin_ThirdIon, or follow him on Instagram at JB_ThirdIon. If you have any fan mail or hate mail or questions for me or any of my guests, please send an email that lists the episode number, preferably if that's relevant. Please send whatever it is to riffsthatkill@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, riffsthatkill. Are you sensing a theme? We are now accessible on iTunes quite easily, and because we're accessible on iTunes, you can also rate the podcast. I highly recommend that you rate it, because if you want your friends or random metalhead strangers or anyone to find us, a higher rating will put us higher in the echelons of metal related podcasts online. And success for me is success for you. Okay, you comprende? Cheers, everyone. This was a good one. I will see you again.